We would like to sing Jig. At the breakfast table, the word was read, and the little boy said, "Please sing Jig. He's here today, a husband and a father, and very happy." Jig is number 34. Matthew 10, he called his disciples, and he sent forth these 12, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give. That's restricted. And principally, if not all, we're Gentiles present here tonight. It's wonderful that in this commission we have raising the dead. They did it. And God's gifts and calling are without repentance, so Peter raised the dead after Christ had died and gone back to heaven. Dorcas was raised. Twice in my conduct of funerals, that passage has been raised because the person was so useful that we wish she was back. But the gospel was a vine reaching over the wall. It had to go forth. It could no longer be retained and limited to the Jewish nation only. God in his governmental ways could choose a people and give them special attention. But come the grace of God, the cross of Christ, the blessing must flow out in mighty power. And oh, we ask for the liberty and power of the Holy Spirit as we're here together. In Acts 10, we have the gospel going to the Gentiles. There's a man there, listen to him, head of Italian band, and it's good to observe his state, his condition of soul. Acts 10, and the beginning of the chapter. Excuse me. I'll turn too far back and too far over, and I'll get it in just a moment. And while you're waiting, think upon Christ. He's the Savior of sinners. And a little boy came into the room and said, are you sleeping? I said, no, I'm getting ready to preach the gospel. Have you got some help for me? And we settled on 1 Timothy 1:15. And we read last night. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, he said. You heard the story about the bachelors. They were awake one morning and a heart attack had stricken one of them. He said, buddy, can you give me some help? I'm going to die and I don't know the way to heaven. Oh, he said, I don't know anything about that. I saw an old lady down the street reading the word. She had a black book in the rocking chair on the porch. He said, you go down and ask your brother. And he went down cheaply. He said, you go back and tell him that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He went back. She made him say it so he wouldn't forget it. She's a good school teacher. He went up the walk and went in the gates and up the steps. He said, I can't say that to my buddy. I'll see. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save folk. And the man said, well, I've heard that verse in Sunday school a long time ago, but it wasn't that way. I wish it said sinner. So he seemed to be convinced, and it helped, and he left in good faith. Well, that's 10. There's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, the centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and praised to God always. Well, this is a rather remarkable man, isn't he? He's a man of prayer, a man of reverential fear to God. He was a giver. He gave much alms to the people, and the people there are the Jewish people. Devout. But he didn't know the gospel yet. He was to send for Simon Peter. He's in the house of a tanner by the seaside in Joppa to get help, so that he might hear words whereby he could be saved. Now, in the beginning of these meetings, there's a hymn song, and it directed my attention to a verse in John 15. They hated me without a cause, and you'll find that same expression in the book of Romans chapter 3. We'll turn now to Romans 3, Cornelius didn't know these precious things yet. He was moving in the right direction. There was an exercise going on in his soul. And if you have an exercise in your soul, thank God for it, act upon it. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Confess him as your Savior and Lord this moment. Don't wait till the meeting is over. You can't do it till soon. I did it. Oh, I forgot. Excuse the reference. When I was 10 years old. Well, we're looking for Romans, and chapter 3, and the same expression, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We found it. Being justified freely by his grace, that's without a cause. There's no reason to do it. We weren't worth anything. Oh, Brother Anton Cleveland said, God loved us when there was nothing in us to love. God's love passeth knowledge. The love of Christ passeth knowledge. It's beyond our love. We want some return when we extend kindness. Being justified freely by His grace are without a cause. Through the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. Now that's the source of our blessing, and Cornelius didn't know that. He didn't have a sense of eternal security. He didn't know that. But now in another chapter, still in Romans chapter 5, we have two more verses about justification. Justified by the grace, and here we'll read about justification by blood. But God commendeth His love toward us, verse 8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath to Him. We have the source of blessing. In this verse we get the foundation of blessing. There's no one blessed apart from the blood of Christ. You cannot get to heaven without it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, everything. Well, if that's the foundation, how does it work? You get something new? How does it work? The other verse is in the beginning of the chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, the salvation of God comes by faith. No other way. Now we turn back to Acts 10. And pursue the story a bit more, if you will, please. Peter didn't want to go. He had objection. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. That's he. Let down from heaven. There are all sorts of things in it. And it came down the second time. It came down the third time. The men arrived at the gate. Go with them, doubting nothing. So he's made willing to go. He arrives at the house of Cornelius, and he's careful to take six Jewish brothers with him. This was an unusual thing that was about to take place. It may be questioned. He wanted to be prepared with the right answer. He goes, and finally in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth in grace toward the Gentiles. We've had much divorce, the unity that was preserved by the Spirit of God. We haven't had yet the subject of the oneness of the body of Christ, nor will we have it in Acts 10, but it's there. Peter opened his mouth. You know, he was a special minister to the circumcision. He went to the Jews. Paul was called and commissioned to go to the Gentiles, and he magnified his office. He went to the Jews first, Charlie. In the last chapter of Acts, his business was to call the Jews together and to offer them the blessing that he preached. And they refused it, and he said, "Be it known unto you that the gospel will be sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." We're Gentiles tonight. We have a special claim upon the gospel of God. What are you doing with that claim? It's awful to go ahead neglecting so great salvation. This is a wonderful sermon here, if we may call it that. I perceive he's convinced about this. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and the work of righteousness is accepted within. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day. That was a message in the beginning. The gospel at the start was mostly plain facts. But now you can hardly preach without teaching a little bit along with it. It's so wonderful. And this truth of resurrection is a wonderful truth. Without it, we wouldn't have anything to offer. The man in the east said, "Oh, you Christians don't have anything. I'll show you Mohammed. He's in that tomb." The Christian has an empty tomb. He's risen. He's alive forevermore. And has the keys of death and of Hades. Death claims the body. We've seen it happen lately. Hades claims the soul. A soul that believes in Jesus departs to be with him. That was the word to the thief on the cross. With me. And Paul, writing to the Philippians detailed how it would be more blessed, far better to be with Christ. But, he says, it's more needful to abide with you, so it stayed about 5 years. Three names, Jesus, Christ, our Lord. That's blessedness. Oh, we wonder about leaving this world when you come to 81. Not to all the people. The last view that the world had of Christ was when they left him on the cross to die. They never saw him in resurrection. But he was seen of chosen witnesses and went about 40 days giving infallible proof of his resurrection from the dead. He raised Lazarus. Became poor. How? Tell me. Became poor. And we're about to get a ladder soon. Such was the power of the blessed Savior to bless. Lazarus, come forth. And what about you? Come forth. Come forth to confess Christ tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead, the living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's a big word for Peter. Whosoever? That's just like a rubber band you can stretch around anything. Whosoever? While Peter yet spake these words, God moved in blessing, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Is it really so? Did it happen? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues, that's the proof. And magnify God. And then they come up to the question of baptism. Cornelius is converted. God's grace wrought in his heart. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. The seal of the work. How can any man forbid water? He commanded them to be baptized. That command was to those six Jewish brethren. They weren't going to baptize a Gentile. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we failed in that unity. You go to 1 Corinthians and you'll see how they got into many baptisms. Paul baptized a few individuals and a household. That's one baptism. They enter upon Christian ground. But this is not all. Paul hasn't come on the scene yet. He's about to. You know, in the 8th of Acts, we get a descendant of Ham receiving blessing. In the 9th of Acts, we get a descendant of Shem, Saul of Tarsus. He's blessed by the gospel. He heard the Lord calling to him, and he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And he got a commission to do something. In this chapter, we have a descendant of Jacob. So the three branches of Noah's family are represented here in these chapters together. But now Paul writes about the gospel. He preaches that Jesus is the Son of God, by the way. But we hear him declaring the forgiveness of sins. "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." That's the message, forgiveness of sins. "And by him all that believe are justified, which could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now you can check that passage in the 13th of Acts, lest I misquote it. And he says in another place, "God hath appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all men, and that he's raised him from the dead." But he writes to the Corinthians in the second epistle. And he says, "If our gospel be hid," verse 3, "it is hid to them that are lost. If you're not saved through faith in Christ, you're in your sins. You're lost. And you're headed to eternal despair." "In whom the God of this world," Paul reads, "has blinded the minds of them which believe not." Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto, through the image of God should shine unto them. What's your hindrance? What's coming between you and the salvation of your eternal soul? Just a newspaper will do it. Any little thing that you can take as an excuse for delay. An old brother told me what an excuse was. Should I tell you? He said it's the thin skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. excuses. What's your excuse? Shall we write it down? I'm in the schoolroom. We put things on the blackboard. Your excuse. It's flimsy. It won't work. And one day, you'll find it too late. It's wonderful to become a child of God, to know that your sins are forgiven. But it's more wonderful to know the glorious gospel of Christ, that you're sealed, that you're His forever, that you have eternal security, that you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. That's what this verse is about. Not only does God save sinners, He fits them for heaven. He brings them into sonship. That's what you need. And that's what is offered to you tonight through the gospel. It's wonderful to have the forgiveness of your sins, to be born again, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, added to the body of Christ. You don't join church. You can't join church. You're already joined. It'd be pretty nice to be converted in Billy Graham's meeting. He's so popular and beneficial. Perhaps it wouldn't be much to your credit if you got saved in this place. But the Word brings blessing wherever it is heard. Now, the time is not gone. And singing O Blessed Gospel Sound, an old brother came to mind back in Kentucky. He had the bottle habit, not perfume. And you know, F.T. Blount came along and preached the finished work of Christ. As I read about it. And he read the chapters on the crucifixion. He says, I fell in love with the Lord Jesus. And the bottle was gone. There's a young man. He's living a rough life. Now, Cornelius was a good man. But a good man or a bad man, a good girl or a bad girl, we all need Christ, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone needs a Savior. Everyone. Now this young fellow, his name was Johnny, he went to Cairo, and Cairo has quite a reputation. He got into a scuffle with friends and poured gasoline on him and set him afire, and he almost burned up. He declared he'd get even with them. He never did. Because he got able to work, and then he got sick. An old sister, who often said what's she thought and said what she didn't think. Urged me to go. I said, go and see that boy. So I'm going. Johnny, he went by my house daily. He rode that tractor and he went into the fields and he worked, and on Saturday you got your payday. You got wages. But eternal life is not on that basis. It's free. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can it be a gift? It's because of Jesus Christ and the work he accomplished on Calvary through the sacrifice of himself. His brother said he understood after that. We trust he did. He died. He's gone. Now, you're young. Many of you are young, huh? The youth impressed me here. Of course, in speaking to youth, you recommend that they remember their Creator in the days of their youth, while the evil days come not old age. You say have no pleasure in them. That's what Armistead Perry said. Old age is not a pleasure. The coming of the Lord is so near, you may not live to be very old. You could be left here. That darkness could happen to you that you heard about last night. That darkness of strong delusion. You come over those who reject Christ. Now, troubles came up in the church. We read about Ananias and Sapphira and the widows that were neglected and the Judaizers that wanted people to be circumcised. And the question was taken up. They acted with great wisdom and they decided, as the first council of the church and the last one, and when they wrote, they said the Holy Ghost tells us what to do. So Paul was preaching in the next chapter, the 16th of Acts, shaking their jail. He must have been rather specific, because the prisoners were retained and all the chains fell off. And the prisoner, the jailer was excited. He said, what shall I do? My life is my bond. I'll die. Paul says, we're all here. Oh, what love in that. We're all here. And what was the recommendation? Circumcision? Keeping the law? Why, the only thing was believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. His blessing for us. His blessing for you tonight. It's free. It's without price, it's without money, it's absolutely free. And in closing now, we'll turn here to this credit. Thank you. Mother, what is your barrier? What is your hindrance? How can you neglect so great salvation?